How's everyone today? Good? It's always awesome to have the children be a part of service. I always enjoy that very, very much. They also sang at the first service, at the last half of it, so they wouldn't have to be at both services full time, but just a blessing. Amen? Father, we just thank you for our time here together. We thank you for touching us through worship, through the children singing, just through being together in fellowship. I pray, Lord God, as we look to your scriptures, that we grow, that we're encouraged, but most of all, that we see the risen Lord even more clearly in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You know, listen, if you've come to hear about a dead Jesus, you've come to the wrong church. Just want to let you know, you're in the wrong place, because he is risen from the grave, victorious over sin and death. He now rules and reigns, amen? And where does he live now? Anybody know? Yeah. Hopefully in your hearts, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's a promise that we have. And so we want to go to the scriptures here in a few moments. Here's the thing, you know, every year, you know, obviously the Easter theme, you do at Easter, right? But we never do exactly the same thing from year to year. Why? You know, we could just read a scripture and do a little commentary on it, and it'd be the same year after year after year. But here's the thing. I believe that we grow in the Word. Amen? We have Bibles. Hopefully you all have a Bible, whether an audio Bible or written word Bible. But the idea is that you don't just read it once and say you're done. It's not like a novel that you read and you're like, okay, I've been there, done that, you know, bought the T-shirt. But rather that you read it continually. Why? Because the Bible's like an onion. There's layers to it. Sure, you get one thing one time, and then the next time you read it, the same scripture, you're in a different place in your walk. You're in a different place of maturity. You have different needs, whatever it might be, and God speaks you through that same scripture in a new and different way. So what happens is it builds upon itself. And so, yes, we're going to read a fairly familiar scripture verse, but the thing is, it's hopefully going to speak to us differently than it has in the past. Can you say amen to that? Amen? Okay, so go to Luke 24. That's what we're going to be reading this morning as our foundation scripture. Luke 24, New King James Version I'm going to read. They'll also put it up on the screens. Beginning at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain of the other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So, you know, we read this account. Now, here's the thing. You know, hindsight's 20/20. Here we are a couple thousand years later. We can look back and say, well, duh, he was risen from the dead. But the thing is, at that moment, they didn't believe that. Now, again, we're looking back and we're like, well, why wouldn't they? You know, Jesus told them over and over again. He brought other people back to life. You know, why could they not believe it? Well, listen, you have to understand that something several days earlier had been burned within their minds. They had seen what was Jesus, his body mangled and mutilated. In fact, the Bible says, beyond recognition, hanging on a cross and him bleeding out and him dying. And if that wasn't enough, then a soldier comes, pierces his side, pierces right into his heart, literally, to make sure he is dead. In other words, he's not coming back from that. Now, Jesus had brought other people back from the dead, but they hadn't been mutilated. They hadn't had their hearts pierced and all that. So for them, it was beyond comprehension that Jesus could come back. They had an emotional, you know, encounter with an event, and they could not logically say, but Jesus, you said you're going to come back. It did not compute. In fact, let me ask you this. When you go through a tragic event, are you just totally logical and clear-headed through it? I'll speak for myself. No, I'm not. And for most of us, it's challenging. Now imagine seeing the Lord crucified like that. They could not get past the crucifixion. And in fact, so much so that here these women were coming. They weren't coming to worship a risen Lord. They were coming to anoint his body so it wouldn't smell. They were embalming it with the idea that it was going to be preserved there. And so they were just coming to just pay their respects, so to speak. Now I'm going to digress for a moment. There's some of you here that you're what I call creasters. You know what that means? You come at Christmas and at Easter, okay? And that's okay. We don't mind, you know. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. And then we have others who visit from time to time, and that's okay. But for many people, especially those that aren't pushing into God, when they come to church, it is a time of reflection, but often it's a time of reflection on all the bad things of life. The things that they're remorseful and filled with, the sad parts of life, and it becomes a somber experience for them. Listen to me. The tomb isn't supposed to be a somber place. Now, it was for them because they thought that's it. He's dead. There's nothing more. Okay, Jesus, thanks for your words. Thanks for what you told us, but you're dead and there's no more future. But here's the thing. He has risen from the grave. So I'm here to tell you today that if you coming to church is about thinking about dead things in your life, you need to get past that. Jesus is a risen Lord. He's alive today to help you in your life. Did you make some mistakes in the past? Anybody make some mistakes? Yeah. I made mistakes this very morning. You know what I'm saying? So listen, we all make mistakes. And the thing is, we could lament and spend all kinds of time saying, I wish I coulda, I shoulda, I mighta, you know, all of those kinds of things. But here's the thing. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is a time to realize that Jesus has an alive plan for you because he's a risen Lord to move forward in your life in new things. So you got to let go of the past to be able to grab hold of your future that Jesus has for you. And in fact, that's literally what this account is about. They go there, they're mourning Jesus, right? And they see the tomb is empty. Two angels, they say, why are you searching for the living among the dead? See, church is about life, not about death. Amen. If the little bit of death is the death to old self and the life that's new and afresh in Jesus, right? And so they all of a sudden, they're like, wow, he really is alive. Now, who do they go to right away, right? The disciples, figuring, well, look at, you know, they want to know. And the disciples, they'd walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They knew him, all the words that he told them. And did they believe these ladies? No. They didn't. And it took a miracle for each and every one of them to see the risen Lord for themselves. And in fact, even Thomas wouldn't believe it until he put his hands, you know, and touched Jesus. And so here's my point, in that you might have this much faith. You know, I got my fingers held like a millimeter apart here, all right? Yeah, I'm using my Canadian metric system, you know, millimeter apart. That's really small. Let's just say that, all right? And so here's the thing. You may have that little bit of faith. Jesus will come down as low as he needs to go to meet you at your point of need. So it doesn't matter where you are in your faith walk. If you've got a need, Jesus will reach down to you. Can you say amen to that? Don't ever believe that he isn't concerned about you, because he is. And so with these ladies, I think it's very interesting. Talk about equal opportunity. Jesus reveals himself to women before he does to the men. Yeah. Very interesting, right? Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. I'll just leave that and we'll just move on. But just food for thought, all right? Yeah. Come on, guys. You need to pick it up a little bit, all right? You need to pick it up and get it together a little bit and believe the word of God. Believe Jesus. And so they go through this, and now as time goes on, they begin to realize he really, really is alive. So here's the question for you today. Is he alive in your life? So for me to answer that, we need to go back in time a little bit, just about a week back in time. So during that time, Jesus has what's known as the triumphal entry, right? He rides in Jerusalem. And so I talked about that last week in Palm Sunday. You know, the title was When Jesus Rides In. And they were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, right? Blessed is the King of David, you know? They're praising him and worshiping him. Now, here's the thing. That word Hosanna, you know what it means? It means come save us. And that's what they were really shouting. Come save us from the Roman rule. Come save us from the oppression we're under. Now, here's the thing. When you read the account of Jesus in the Gospels, if anyone ever said something to him that was incorrect, he always corrected them. Always. Now, here's the thing. These people are shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Come save us. Did Jesus rebuke them? Because he did come to save them. Not from what they thought they needed saving from, but what they really need to be saved from, and that was from their sins, so that they could have everlasting life. See, so often, even you and I as believers, we get so focused on the here and now, the natural stuff that's happening, but it's so temporary compared to all of eternity and what's important in life. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't care about life here. He cares about you. He cares about your life and the things that you do in this life. But listen, this life is what? A blink of the eye compared to your eyes wide open of all of eternity. So what's more important, right? So we get eternity right, then God will help us deal with this life and make it all good as well. He'll bless us and help us with that. Okay, so rides in. He spends that week, it's known as Passover week back in Jewish times. In fact, Jewish people still celebrate it even to this day. I have some Jewish friends and they had their Seder meal and they're doing all that. And they're looking forward to the Messiah coming. I got news for you, the Messiah already came, amen? But still, it's okay, they're celebrating that. And so Jesus celebrated that with his disciples, spent time with them, invested in them, kept telling them, hey, I'm going to die, told them over and over and over again, I'm going to come back from the grave. And then finally, he's what? Arrested, and he's crucified. So I want to take just a couple of minutes to talk about something the Lord just really showed me a new perspective on. And I love it when Jesus does that. So I'm just going to pass this on to you. So picture, here's Jesus, you know, hanging on the cross. He's not on the cross anymore. But picture, he's hanging on the cross. He's got two thieves on each side, right? That's a picture. Now, just in your mind, just picture the three crosses. They're hanging there. That's a picture of mankind right now. Now, let me just explain. The one thief, what did he do? He's hurling insults at Jesus, saying, look, if you're really God, you know, come down from the cross and take us down as well. You know, he's mocking and mocking and mocking. And then the other man, the thief on the other side, says, what are you doing? Why are you saying those things? You know, we deserve to be on the cross. We deserve to be punished for the things we've done wrong. But this man, he has done nothing wrong. And then he says, Jesus, remember me. And you know what Jesus says to that one man? He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say, well, okay, hold on. You weren't baptized. Sorry. You know, you didn't do good works. You didn't come to the temple. You didn't do this. None of that. He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. What we see illustrated there is all of mankind in two places. The first group are the mockers, the ones who do not accept what Jesus has done on the cross. They mock and scorn and laugh and do all the things they do and carry on with life without a care in the world, supposedly. But then you've got the other thief on the other side who acknowledged that he wasn't right, that he was messed up, that he had missed it, and then asking Jesus to be a part of his life. Literally, that's the difference between heaven and hell demonstrated right there. Right there on the cross. Right there. So I ask you this question right now. Which thief are you? Which thief are you? Are you the one that's still mocking? Still saying, this is all a bunch of whatever? Or have you come to a place of acknowledging that the only way you can get to heaven is with God's help? Because the Bible says this, all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God. Even that criminal, that one criminal, said, look it, we deserve to be on the cross. See, you and I deserve punishment. You and I deserve to go to hell. We all do. But Jesus gave his life so that we could have everlasting life. So we could be freed from our sin. And all that one thief did on the cross, he didn't do any works or anything. All he did was acknowledge that he was a sinner, acknowledge that he wasn't good enough for God, and then ask Jesus to be a part of his life. And Jesus said, okay, just like that. So just with everyone looking at me right now, I pray that most of you here know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I do. But I also know that some of you have never made a public, personal decision for Jesus. And if you can't tell me, in other words, if I had a conversation with you and I said, hey, you know, when did you accept Jesus? And you kind of hee-haw and then that means you probably haven't. So why don't we make it today? Easter Sunday, 2025. That'd be real easy to remember, right? So then when I come along and ask you, you can say, yep, I know exactly when it was. Because you want to know for sure that you're going to go to heaven. That when we breathe our last breath, and I pray that every person sitting here and those watching all have a long life. I pray you do. But between you and me, we don't know when we're going to breathe our last breath, and we need to be ready. So if you're here within the sound of my voice, and you've never asked Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior, just slip your hand up in the air. That's all I'm looking for. Just slip it up in the air. Just want to make sure everybody here knows Jesus. That's all I'm asking you to do. We had four people receive Jesus at the first service, which was awesome. I see that hand back there on my left. Anyone else? Just want to make sure everyone has the opportunity. I'm trying to look. We got bright lights up here, but I am looking. Anyone else? Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Well, listen, for the sake of that one person, and I have to believe that others have put their hands up as well. Maybe they put it up on the inside. They're like, a little freaked out. But that's okay. Let's pray this prayer together. But for those that have truly accepted Jesus into their heart, this is your prayer, all right? So let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I am one of those thieves. But I'm choosing right now to be the one that acknowledges you. That you alone can save me from my sins. From all the things I've done wrong. And restore me into a relationship with you. Come into my heart right now as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, for those that made that decision, let me know after service. I'd love to talk to you for a few minutes. So as we move on from this, I want to take a minute and give you 4 points about the resurrection that you need to know. So here's the thing. If somebody comes to you and says, well, why did Jesus have to be resurrected? You know, I would hope you'd have some answers, right? I just want to give you a couple of points to encourage you that you'll have some strong scriptural answers for them, all right? So let's look at the first one. How about this? Jesus rose from the grave and there were witnesses. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 6, for what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. So when this was written, the Apostle Paul wrote it about 30 years after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, all right? And so some of those 500, when it says they've fallen asleep, it doesn't mean they went to have a nap. They've died and gone on into glory, all right? But the mass majority of them were still there. And so here's the thing. If Paul had written this and this had been passed on to churches, you know, if this didn't really happen, he'd have a huge outcry, wouldn't he? Be like, that's a lie. You know, nobody saw Jesus. But here's the thing. Everyone that read this letter that was written said amen to it because they knew someone or knew someone who knew someone that had actually seen the risen Lord. And you haven't got just the 500. You've got the disciples. You've got the two guys on the road to Emmaus and probably countless dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of others who saw the resurrected Lord. In fact, it's been said that if the case for Jesus' resurrection was presented in court today, it would overwhelm be proven that he had risen from the dead. Now, you and I don't need that. Why? Because as believers, where does he live right now? In your heart. Amen? Like, but here's the thing. Sometimes it's good to have a head understanding of what Jesus has done. But here's the thing. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. And he had witnesses back then. Now, let me ask you this. Are you a witness of the resurrected Lord? Now, you may not have, quote, seen him in bodily form, but are you a witness to his love in your life? Are you a witness to him moving in your life, of him speaking by his Holy Spirit in your life? I hope so. So let me ask again, because nobody put up their hands, because you were like, what kind of question? Is this a trick question? Is there anyone here that's witnessed Jesus in their life? I got about like 15 people. All right, well, my Lord. All right. Well, I pray that Jesus makes himself more real to you as you open your heart more to him. Amen. All right, next point. Jesus rose from the grave to save us from death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 and 21. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And so that's referring to the first Adam, you know, Adam and Eve. If you remember, they sinned in the garden. So sin entered the world through them, specifically Adam being the representative. And so here's what this scripture is saying. The second Adam, referring to Jesus, takes sin away. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now, the first verse that I read talked about Jesus being the first fruits. Well, what's that all talking about? Well, this actually is a connection to the Old Testament. Remember we talked about Passover week and how that was happening, and Jesus was the Passover lamb. So as Jesus was dying on the cross, thousands of sheep were being sacrificed in the temple. Over and over. But Jesus was the final lamb. The only one that needed to die, right? So here's another thing that the Jewish people did. On Sunday, on what we call Resurrection Day, they would have what they call the offering of first fruits. And what they would do is bring grain in from the fields. They would go to their fields, and the crop wouldn't be ripe yet because it's still growing and not quite ready. But around the edges, there would be some of the grain would be ready. So they would pick it and offer it up to the Lord as a first fruit offering. The idea was that by offering it, they were asking the Lord to bless the rest of the crop that was going to come in months later. And so here's the deal. Jesus is called the first fruits. So at the very moment that in the temple they're offering up these sheaves of grain as first fruit offerings to the Lord, here's Jesus coming back from the dead as a first fruit offering. So who's the fruit to follow? Point to yourself. You and me. We were the fruit that was to come. He was the first fruit, the one that made a pathway. Jesus made a pathway to heaven for you and I to go to as the first fruits, and we're the rest of the fruit to follow. Can you say amen to that? You're fruit, and that means in a good way, all right? Like I know that sometimes you say somebody's like fruity, fruit and nuts kind of thing. That's not what I'm talking about here. This is a good kind of fruit, all right? Fruit that bears, you know, that gives. And anyway, we'll move on from that, all right? So first point, Jesus rose from the grave, and there were witnesses. Second point, Jesus rose from the grave to save us from death. Third point is this, Jesus rose from the grave so we could have a relationship with God. 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus paved the way for people. He made a way where there seemeth to be no way. And it's through him coming back from the grave that we have a way to the Father, that we have a relationship with him. You know, you don't just have to talk about God in like, oh yeah, I know about God. No, I know Jesus personally. He talked to me this morning. You get what I'm saying? He's talking to some of you right now. Just as we've been going through worship, as the children were singing, as I've been talking, my hope is that the Holy Spirit has been talking to you individually, just revealing something to you, maybe even not anything I've talked about, just bringing something up into your heart. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You know, don't get all weird about it. He's just speaking to you, all right? Not your conscience. That's a different... How many people know the voice of your conscience? You know that voice. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit voice. It's a little bit different from that, but it always lines up with God's word, and he's speaking to encourage you in your walk with him. Amen. Okay, final point of the day. Jesus rose from the grave so that we could trust his word. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and experts in the law and be killed and on the third day be raised again. He told them over and over again exactly what was going to happen. There, in the Old Testament, there's over 700 prophecies concerning what Jesus was going to do, when he was going to come, and the things he was going to do. Some of them haven't come to pass yet. Why? Because he's coming back again one day. And he will fulfill every single prophetic word. Why? Because his word is true. Amen. Amen. Jesus did all the impossible so eternal life could be possible for you and for me. Take your little communion cup. If you didn't grab one, they're at the back on the tables. In a few moments, we're going to take communion together. My prayer is that every person here now knows Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. just before we do communion together, look at this last scripture verse. Apostle Paul makes a statement. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this morning. Do you have fear of death? I pray you don't. But I know that even many believers still struggle with that. They have fear concerning death. Here's what I want to tell you. Jesus wants to take that fear away. You know, fear is the opposite of faith, right? And so faith is trusting God at His word. And He says this, and we just read the scripture, you don't have to be fearful of death. You don't have to be fearful of this body expiring. Because Paul says this, the Apostle Paul, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. It's like going through one doorway into another, from one room to another. That is what God wants us to understand. And so I pray that if you're dealing with fear, in fact, just every head bowed just for a moment. Are you here in this place just dealing with fear when it comes to dying and passing from this life to the next? And if that's you, all I'm going to do is just ask you to slip your hand up so I can see it. Yep. See those hands? Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. Yep, you can put those hands down. Father, right now, I just lift up those individuals at this very moment. And Lord, I understand in my early walk, I had much fear concerning that. But as I've grown with you and as others have grown with you, that fear just gets replaced by faith and trust. And so, Lord, I pray as they continue to grow with you and walk with you in your word and in prayer and just walking and talking with you, that fear will dissipate and it will be replaced by your peace and your presence and your love. I just thank you, Lord. So if you open up your communion cup, the small part first, you'll find a little wafer in there. It represents the body of Jesus being broken for you and I. So let's take and eat it together. If you open up the other end, you'll find some grape juice in there. It represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. It was shed so that you could have a pathway to heaven. You know, I've heard it said that we are resurrected people living in a Good Friday world. And I like that. Let me explain what it means. It means that we're resurrected. We understand that there's life after this. But the people in the world, all they understand is this world. They don't know that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is alive. And so that's the world that we live in, one of death and destruction. But we are to be lights in this world. So I encourage you, don't let that just be a light at Easter time, but every single day. We're to be resurrection people in a Good Friday world every day of the year. Amen? Let's take and drink together. Father, I thank you for those that were able to attend here today. I thank you for those that watched online. I speak a blessing over them. I pray, Lord God, that you would lead us and guide us, that we would call upon your name for all the circumstances of life because you were available. You're literally a call away for each and every one of us. So, Lord God, I pray right now we would just be more accountable to you, that we would call upon you more, that we would just see you in every circumstance of life as we walk on further in our life walk with you. So bless each one here. We just thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And listen, hey, if you're a creaster, come back again between so then we won't call you that, all right? And we've got some food in the back. I encourage you to stay in fellowship for a little while. God bless you.